morning. It's good to be here with you and appreciate the opportunity provided by the elders to stand before you one more time. This morning I want to talk about, maybe some of you remember some of the devotions that I sent out and during the height of the pandemic, and just to kind of focus our minds back on God, and hopefully that did a little bit of that at least. So this morning I want to talk about meditations or devotions, private meditations. I want to give an attribution to this. So if you go see Mickey Mouse or Harry Potter down in Orlando, just out of Kissimmee, Florida, is a congregation that, where Mark Copeland preaches, and some of you had looked at his work online and his all that, and I commend that to you. And this is taken from or inspired by one of his sermons. Some would say that the idea of meditations or devotions are for children or the young or the teenagers, and as members of the body of Christ, we should just stick to the Bible study and teaching. However, the Bible clearly shows that godly men, or godly people rather, people approved of God actually relied on private times that are solely devotion to God, where they could commune with God via prayer and ask for supplications and intercessions and the like. Studying God's word, asking for God's help in understanding his will, and sometimes pouring their hearts out to their Father in heaven. And this is best done in private. So let's look at some of the godly people first here, and let the scriptures teach us about private meditations or devotions. Great men of God were noted for engaging in these devotions. Isaac meditated in the field at evening in Genesis, the 24th chapter, in verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. Went out by himself in the field, and communed with God, praised God, prayed to God, offered up his songs of praise to God. Possibly he went out by himself in the evening after all the work was done and the chores were done, and those kind of things. David prayed three times daily and meditated on his bed at night. In Psalms, the 55th chapter, verse 17, evening and morning and at noon I will pray, says the Psalm of David, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And then in Psalms chapter 63 and verse 6 is, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. And so David, laying awake in his bed at night, decided to remember God. Now, we don't know exactly what he said to God, but it was the things that were on his heart that he wanted to share with God: praises, problems, fears, victories, defeats, all those things that are best left just between you and God. And Daniel's custom, as we know from studying Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed — this is taken just a paragraph out of the story of Daniel — when it was forbidden to pray to God, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. And so he would go to his room privately and commune with God, whatever was on his heart. Private meditations or devotions are encouraged by the Son of God even. And in Matthew, Mark, the first chapter, in verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Jesus went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Now we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times, and he was worried about and concerned on his heart about the next day's activities, the cross and all the goings on and coming up to the cross. and then his death on the cross. The human part of him was concerned about that, fearful for that, and he prayed three times to his Father about that. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, "Now it came to pass in those days that he," Jesus, "went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Went out by himself to the mountain and prayed at night. After everything was settled down, everybody was going to bed, he took that opportunity to pray to his Father. And in Matthew 6 and verse 6, "But you, when you pray," Jesus counseled his followers, "go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So he counseled his followers, his disciples, to pray. Don't pray in front of people for their praise or their maybe think highly of yourself, but go off and by yourself and pray. So we here are attending a public worship, certainly, and that's a different, totally different thing than private meditations or devotions with our Father in heaven. What was the purpose of these devotions? And the Bible talks about that, to draw nearer to God. In a corporate setting like this, we are together and offering up collective praises and prayers and songs, supplications, thanksgivings, all those things to God. But you personally may have those things on your heart that you want to draw near to God and discuss with God. God is found by those who seek him in 1 Chronicles 28th chapter and verse 9. "As for you, my son Solomon," David told him, "know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands the intent of the thoughts." The thoughts in your mind that only you are privy to, God knows. God understands your intentions, whether you convey that to other people or not. David continues talking to Solomon, "If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off." And so there is our outward impression that we give people, and then there's the inward impression that we keep to ourselves many times, but God knows. And God knows the intent of your thoughts. And so we need to be very careful about having an outward impression that we present and an inward set of thoughts that we don't share. Because whether you think it or not or want to or not, you're sharing them with God. God knows. You're not going to fool God about that. And Azariah told King Asa in 2 Chronicles 15, and he went out to meet Asa and said, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But again, if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And you can put on the best front that you want to put on and you know, and tie your tie just right if you wear a tie and shine your shoes and sit in the pew. But God knows the intent of your heart. God knows your thoughts. And so we need to draw near to God, and these private meditations are a time to do that. God draws near to those who draw near to him. And looking at the New Testament verse in James 4 and verse 8, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Simple as that. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." Don't be double-minded. Don't have an outward appearance and an inward appearance that are different. Cleanse yourself. And so, drawing near to God. But we also, in these private meditations, want to receive some spiritual nourishment. And you say, well, that's Bible study. We'll talk about Bible study. If you know people, you probably, everyone in here knows someone who knows the Bible and what God requires, but they don't do it. There are people out there, maybe people in here, I don't know, who know what God requires of them, but they don't do it. And so as we draw near to God and receive spiritual nourishment, we understand that there's a difference in knowing and doing. And these private meditations can kind of clear the air, as it were, between you and God. What am I doing wrong? And I need to confess that. And I want to pray for strength, or whatever it might be for you. Because on an outward appearance, there's a difference in knowing it and doing it. And so these private meditations are a time to reflect, repent, and get right back on the track and start doing it again and again and again. We need spiritual nourishment. Matthew 4 and verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. A simple, simple scripture that we all know. But the words of God, the doctrine of Christ, you know, intellectually understanding it is one thing, but having it in your heart, inside you, so that it helps shape your actions and thoughts and deeds, that's different. Spiritual growth comes from the Word of God. Having been born again, 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 23, not of corruptible, but incorruptible. So we want the incorruptible. If we're double-minded, outward versus inward, then we're corruptible. We want to be born of the incorruptible.